Well, again, thank you for being here this evening hour as we continue with our worship to our Heavenly Father and in praise of His Son, Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts, the 10th chapter, please. Well, I wish you could have seen the happy faces of Driefontein as these three ladies were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Alongside the tragedy and all that is so very, very frightening in that country, here are men and women, and they're hearing the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, some of them for the very first time. And how delightful it is to know that they have had their souls saved. They have the hope of heaven along with us. Glad Lindsay Burden made it back home from Louisville. And I have to tell you that I told my granddaughter Steffi that yes, she can go, but she has to come back here every Sunday. And I don't know whether she will do that or not. But, Steffi, we're going to miss you so much. Be sure that you tell her so. Our Lord Jesus Christ, while He was here on earth, what a brief period of time it was. No one has ever had a greater impact upon the history of the world. No one has ever had a greater impact upon the world today, upon men and women today, than that life of Jesus Christ. So far as we can determine from the study of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus evidently was engaged in what we would call His active ministry for a short 3.5 years. What a brief period of time. And yet, during that brief period, 3.5 years, how do we characterize all of His activities? Well, Peter did that at the household of Cornelius here in Acts, the 10th chapter. And this is the way that he summed up the activities of our Lord. Verse 36, now, how God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus spent his time going about doing good. How do we emphasize that? Well, we can emphasize it, I think, by saying that while Jesus was here on earth, He did no bad things at all. You and I cannot look at Jesus and say, well, He failed in this regard. In this area, He did not take advantage of the opportunities that He should have taken up. After all, He was just a man. And then, almost immediately, as we hear someone making a statement like that, we come to the defense of our Lord. We say, oh no, that is not so. Every day, every hour, every working portion of the time, while our Lord was going about here on earth, He was doing good. Nobody ever did greater good than our Lord. Now that should tell us something about the character of Jesus. That should let us know that the Heavenly Father, God, was working in him along with the Holy Spirit of our Lord in proving over and over again, he is the Son of God. Well, what lessons are we to learn from the fact that Jesus went about doing good? We're not miracle workers. Maybe we need to understand that right at the beginning of our study this afternoon hour. We cannot, in that sense of the word, do the things that Jesus did. There is a phrase in the religious world, and I think they've even chosen four or five initials to talk about this. But what it amounts to is we, you and I, every one of us in this building, we ought to be like Jesus. As he went about doing good, so we ought to be doing good. Be followers of Christ. There cannot be a greater one that you can determine in your life that you will follow, that you will make him your example. Our text, of course, is going to describe some of the good things that Jesus did. Without our trying to get lost in the details, I want to mention some four or five or maybe even six things, six activities that our Lord engaged in to try to emphasize to our mind how it is that Jesus went about doing good. Where should we start? Well, there's no better place for us to start than to start at the beginning of his ministry here on earth, and that takes us to his baptism by John. And we want to start off our description by saying Jesus did good when he was baptized. Let's just read these few words of description in Matthew 3, beginning with verse 13. You're familiar with the reading. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Oh, what a wonderful introduction to the world. Do you wonder about John, first of all, hesitating and saying, oh, Lord, I don't want to baptize you? Well, I think, yes, we can understand how John felt realizing that this was the very Son of God that was requesting baptism. But we know from the statements of Jesus here that he could not have completed the will of the Heavenly Father for him here on earth unless he was baptized. It served as that divine purpose for the Holy Spirit himself to descend on Jesus, and further than that, that great voice from heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." No, Jesus was not baptized because he was a sinner. Jesus was not baptized because it was something that, as far as a failure or a lacking in his life, he had to do that. But again, we simply say, and you're in agreement with this, it was a good thing that Jesus was baptized. But if it was a good thing for Jesus to be baptized, how much more so is it true that we follow that example and that we are baptized? I tell you what, dear friends, I don't know why people hesitate to be baptized. Well, I know some of the excuses that are given. I've heard people say, "Well, I don't want to be baptized because I may fail." Oh, well, that may be true, but that's not a very good reason for an individual saying, "I do not want to have forgiveness of my sins. I do not want to be born again." Oh, dear brethren, dear friends, do not hesitate when you come to the understanding the Lord commands baptism. The Lord commands every creature. As he said, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Not only is it true that you and I are imitating our Lord when we're baptized, but it is a good thing. It is one of the best things that anyone can ever do whenever he or she says, "I don't want to wait any longer. I want to be baptized so that I can follow the Lord Jesus Christ." Our text here in Acts, the 10th chapter, tells us that Jesus did good when he went about healing the sick. And you think about all of the miracles that Jesus performed day and night while he was here on earth. To the centurion whose servant was so grievously ill, recorded in Matthew 8 and verse 7, Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." How about raising the dead? Oh, we have people that make such blatant claims today that they are able to do the things that Jesus and the apostles did back then. But oh, what a good thing it was that Jesus did. Look over at Luke, the 7th chapter. This will be just one of the few places in Scripture that we will consider tonight. There was a little village called Nain. It was close, as I recall, to the city of Nazareth and Capernaum. And the Scripture says in verse 11 of Luke 7, "It happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. When he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out." Can you picture that funeral procession? A dead man is being carried out, and he was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with him. When the Lord saw her, notice what happens. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. And then fear came upon all. They glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. I hope you realize that we're not just trying to fill in some time tonight. Do you know that there never has been a greater teacher than Jesus Christ? Whenever we read of these wonderful things that he did, to be able to raise the dead, because of his love and compassion, and because he wanted to demonstrate without a shadow of a doubt that he was the Son of God. All right. We marvel at that, but now the question comes to us. What application are we going to make in this? We do not have miraculous power. I think I mentioned that in the beginning. We do not have power to miraculously heal anyone or to be able to raise the dead. What are we to do day by day? Well, we're to do just exactly what Jesus did. We're to do good. We're to do good. That's why God has redeemed us. I know you do not know what is going to happen tomorrow, but I think I can give you some good advice. Plan to do good. Plan to do good. Do not plan to do any evil at all. But you say, "Brother Gene, there are some mean people out there in the world. There are some folks that are going to try my spirit, and they're going to try my soul." If you don't believe that, talk to Leon one of these times, and he will tell you about some of the folks that he works with. They make such sweet things. I wish all of the people were sweet, Leon. But you say, it's not just at the cookie factory. It is all over. Am I going to be able to do good whenever I drive to work and there are so many people out there that are rushing around and cutting in front of my car and doing all kinds of things? What about if I get an irate phone call from a customer? I tell you what, if you want to be like Jesus, you determine before you ever go to work tomorrow, it does not matter what I face. I'm going to do good like Jesus. Do you know that Jesus did good when he prayed for his enemies? He did, didn't he? And under some of the most trying circumstances that you can ever imagine. Where is he praying? When is he praying? When he's hanging on the cross? I've never really been able to fathom all of the pain that our Lord endured on that cross. It had to be excruciating. And here are his enemies right at the foot of the cross. And they are crying out, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." He saved others. He cannot save himself. They were jeering at him. And even the thieves on either side also railed on him. And what does Jesus do? he prays, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, you say, Brother Gene, you have already said he's the Son of God, so don't expect me to act that way. Yes, he does expect you to act that way. Look over at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, I think, is the place we want to look. And verse 17 reads like this. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, what are you to do? Feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do you want some refrigeration verses? Well, here they are. And if you just take verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When you do, you're like our Lord Jesus Christ. We mentioned his tragic death on the cross. And do you know Jesus did good when he died on the cross? Where would we be without the death of Jesus? Where would the world be without the death of Christ? Well, I will tell you, dear friends, we would be totally without hope. Not only is it true that we could not go through the lesson as we have tonight, pointing out all of the good that Jesus did, but we would be totally without hope. What hope would you have if you were put to death tomorrow? What hope would you have if in a tragic accident you lost your life? I'll tell you, Jesus did good when he died on the cross because he gave us hope. We can understand that it is through his shed blood that we're able also to have forgiveness of sins. Yeah. Somebody says Jesus is dead and gone. Do you know he's still doing good today? He lives. He reigns in heaven, Peter said so. And when we consider hope, well, we're reminded of the passage in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. In verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Do you understand the plea that is being made to Christians? Hold fast your confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I hope you understand this evening, hour, that what we have studied together is not just for a select few. The things that we have considered makes an appeal not only to those of us who are followers of Christ, it makes an appeal to those that have not yet rendered obedience. Do you want to have the hope of living eternally? Do you want to have the hope of living eternally in heaven? Jesus makes that possible. Doing good as Jesus did not only provides happiness for you in this life, it provides happiness for the world to come. If you would like to become a Christian tonight, if you would like to confess that you believe He is the Son of God, we want to encourage you to do that, to be baptized in order that your sins may be forgiven, and then to serve Him faithfully all the days of your life. Aren't you glad that Jesus went about doing good? Jeff, lead us in that good song. Let's stand and sing, and let us help you if we can.